Hello, it's me, Joe Devine, from the Movies You Forgot podcast. This isn't a real episode, I'm sure you've already noticed that due to the length of it. I don't know exactly how long it is, truthfully, because I've only just started talking. So, to be honest, it could be an hour, you know? That could really happen, but it probably won't be. I'm here to tell you a couple of things. The first is that, unfortunately, there is no episode this week. I know you were all waiting with bated breath for episode number 100, which is due to be released, and I can tell you has been recorded. I don't know whether this is a good thing or not, but there was in fact so much to discuss for episode 100 that episode 100 is now two episodes, and depending on who you agree with, that's either episode 100 part A and B, or episode 100 and episode 101. I'm excited for you to hear it too, and actually it does require your input, because what we've decided to do, as you'll hear when you listen, is spend a while showing our working, going through the communal list as sent in by you, decreeing what is and what isn't a movie one forgot, and then creating a rather long shortlist at the end of it, which we want to give back to you, the listener. I would say dear listener, but I don't believe it. You know, the people at the other end of this digital contraption. We want you to decide what you would like us to talk about on episode 100. Now, obviously, episode 100 conceptually, sentimentally, will be episode 100. Rationally and in actuality, it will be what episode 102. So there's that. Also, if you were to consider this an episode in and of itself, because it could be considered an episode, I mean, it is released in sequential order, then in a way, this is episode 100. And isn't that disappointing? That's very disappointing, isn't it? So what we are then calling episode 100 is episode 101. What we are then arguing about the name of is either episode 102 or now episode 101 part B. And really, it'll be episode 103 before we actually do what we infer that you wanted us to do. So, you know, that's exciting, isn't it? Anyway, it turns out this is going to be quite long. Anyway, the reason I've come to you today is because a few eagle-eyed among you noticed, why wouldn't you, that last week we announced that we were opening our new Discord server, the Movies You Forgot Discord server. Guess what? We didn't open it. Do you know why? I don't either. It's not really, there's no rational reason. It was just a combination of things that happened. I think if I was in school, I would say the dog ate my homework. Or if I was in university, I would say, my father died. Or if I was at work, I would say, oh, I forgot. Sorry about that. So that's why, you know, because I forgot. Sorry about that. It is, however, open right now. And I'm mainly releasing this monologue in order for you to get access to that information. I want you to join it. And the first thing I want you to do when you get in there is to vote on the outcome on the film that you would like us to talk about, or movie, in episode 103 or 2 or 1, depending on your perspective. Now, obviously, you'll be getting a kind of exclusive look ahead to see what we did say was a movie one forgot, and what we said wasn't. So in a sense, you'll be kind of jumping forward two episodes in time. But that's part of the benefit of joining the Movies You Forgot Discord server, is you may well get a bit of a jump on the movies you're actually watching. And, you know, if you're one of those people that wants to watch along and share the experience as well, that'll give you a bit more time to do it. Within there also is an episode discussion thread where we can all chat about what was said. The main thing I'm excited about is like the recommend us a film bit. It's just for personal use, really. It's not, you know, we might talk about some of that stuff on the podcast if we watch them and really enjoy them, but mainly I'm just looking for people who are interested in films and movies to recommend me good stuff that I might not have seen before. And then beyond that, there's like a voice chat where you can chat to each other if you're brave enough. And there's a stage channel where Adam and I can talk to you without, you know, with your ability to talk back being strangled by various administrators, which I'm quite excited about. Mainly the power that I will feel being able to talk where others can't, you know, that's going to be really fun for me. So please join. Also, Adam doesn't believe that you will. So if you do, it will give me great joy. And I'll be able to say to Adam, hey, Adam, look at this. Isn't this a nice thing that's happened? Why do you always think the worst thing is going to happen? Why do you think people don't like you? I mean, obviously, in real life, people don't. But there's no reason why in podcast life that has to be mimicked, you know? Anyway, God, it's nice to be able to speak without being constantly interrupted, isn't it?
Adam is the host now. The dynamic works better when Adam is the host. Adam prefers to the host, and Joe prefers to the participant. It's better overall when Adam is the host, and Joe is the participant. Let it never be spoken of again. The ghost. 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 The ghost.
I thought something that might make this a bit more fun and less of just an advert for a community engagement would be if I tell you, because I never get a chance anymore. Adam's always he's always stopping me or saying, oh, there won't be time for that, or oh no, there's a format we must follow. I never get a chance to tell you guys what I've been watching, and I've watched so much stuff recently. I want to throw it in here. I'm just going to pick a couple of the films I've watched recently to talk about. And sorry, you might be able to hear that train in the background. I'm not recording in a very good space. Michael Clayton. Now, Adam and I talk about Michael Clayton quite a lot. I watched this yesterday with my wife. It was her first time seeing it. And she's not a huge sort of thriller fan. I don't think she's, you know, like a particular... She doesn't dislike George Clooney, but I don't think she's like particularly in love with George Clooney or anything. And usually the tone that she'd be looking for in a film is something slightly more uplifting, something slightly, you know, realistic or based on true story or something like that, you know. I put this on because I thought we'd flicked around for a little bit, couldn't really find anything. And I just know Michael Clayton is a great film. I've seen it maybe twice, I think possibly just the once. And it'd been quite a long time, so I'd forgotten a lot about it. But I was surprised when I put it on how much came back to me. How many of these scenes in these rooms that you like? It's a very, you know, it's a corporate thriller essentially with a little bit of more risky stuff thrown in, and therefore a lot of the scenes are shot in these quite drab, usually ordinary, mundane corporate settings. But there were moments in the film where it's generally where Tilda Swinton stepped into a room, and I suddenly was just flooded with the memory of what had happened when I watched the film last time. So I don't know what it is that the director has done, but it's really special. It's such a good film. I also found it more emotional this time watching it than I think I did last time. There's something really nice about the ending of the film. And yeah, if you haven't seen it, I won't spoil it for you. I will just say he did it for his friend. And that's really nice. I don't think I quite got that last time. I really like that. So Michael Clayton, what an incredible film. I mean, it's definitely George Clooney's best. And if you haven't watched it, I really highly encourage that you do so. Here's one that's not so good that Adam's also seen. We talked about this over text message. I watched The Gorge on Apple TV, which is Anya Taylor-Joy and Miles Teller, who are, they're either side of a big ravine or a gorge, as they've decided to call it in the film. And on one side, there's like the Soviet, ex-Soviet Union people, although Anya Taylor-Joy is actually from Lithuania. So, I mean, very much ex-Soviet Union. And on the other side is the West and the Allies, whatever. That's so it's Miles Teller. And they both arrive. They're not supposed to have any contact with each other. They're like really far apart. And they're supposed to be there for a year to watch and monitor the gorge. There's all this secrecy around it and what lives down there. When Miles Teller arrives, he's greeted by the last soldier that was there, who, as an example, just drops a little grenade down into the gorge. And then you listen, when it explodes, you hear all these like horrible, demonic sorts of screams. So, you know, it's quite an interesting concept, minus the demons, I think. I thought it was quite a bad film. Adam agreed with me. There wasn't much to it. It was a really interesting idea. And I couldn't help but think, I'm sorry, action fans, I couldn't help but think, if there weren't demons in the gorge, or sort of radioactive, like, things, I won't spoil what it is. I mean, I have already. Then I think it would have been much more interesting. I really like the idea, and I've been watching a lot of Hitchcock, as I mentioned recently, so the notion of, like, suspense, disbelief, and holding something back from the audience. I really like the idea of the mystery of what's down there never really being resolved, and the story being about these two people who are not supposed to have any contact opposite each other. That's really fun. Unfortunately, the gorge does away with the fun bits after about 30 minutes. So, you know, it's really not that interesting. And Scorny Weaver shows up in yet another bad sci-fi film. So, good for her, you know. I watched Hook. Great as ever. What else is there to say about Hook? Nothing really. It's fantastic. Here's a fun one. I watched a film that was... I've completely forgot about it. I've been watching a bunch of films with Jimmy Stewart in. And then this one came up. And I'd completely forgotten that it existed. Now, my father, who is dead, had two favourite films. Although until recently, I only remembered that he had one. That one is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which I'm sure lots of people listening have seen, and it's a tricky psychological watch. It's quite dark. It's obviously aged quite a lot. It's hard to just pop on, you know. No one's popping on One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So I very rarely watch it. I think I've seen it, you know, two or three times. Probably haven't seen it for about 10 years. Don't really want to watch it, but there's this emotional connection with it because it was my dad's favourite film, and I think about that. And then all of a sudden the other day, one popped up on, it was actually on ChatGPT on Colin. I was looking for recommendations of where to go next after, oh, that's right, the environment is being impacted single-handedly by me looking for movie recommendations from Colin. But I'd been doing a few Jimmy Stewarts, and all of a sudden, Colin recommended Harvey. After I just watched Vertigo. Harvey. Vertigo to Harvey. It's a bit of a left turn. Colin described it as, hey, if you want something that's a bit more chilled out, you know, a Jimmy Stewart in a different vein, what about Harvey? And I thought, Harvey? I completely forgot about that film. I thought it was called Harvey the Rabbit. Suddenly I remembered the VHS cassette case, in which I always remember thinking, well, I could see the bunny rabbit's ears, you know. So I then watched the film expecting to see the rabbit. If you don't know, and I'm sure you probably don't, what Harvey is, it's a film from, I have no clue. Maybe the 40s, I guess. I assume so. And anyway, Jimmy Stewart is this sort of man in his 40s who apparently seems to have gone a bit mad. His best friend is a giant 6 foot six or 6 foot three, invisible bunny rabbit that he walks around with, and that he doesn't seem to have any fear that nobody else can see, or it's not really that clear what's going on. He's described as a bit insane, but he's very, very friendly. He's very earnest. Think of it as a kind of, at the beginning, it sort of sets itself out as a sort of proto Forrest Gump type film where it's sort of unclear if the messaging is like, hey, people who have severe mental health issues are sometimes saner than you. You know, that sort of wacky messaging, which probably isn't that helpful, but I understand the positive sentiment of it. I don't know if that's the message the film is trying to portray or not. But anyway, he has this big invisible rabbit friend, and his sister and her daughter, who he lives with, they hate it. They hate Harvey the rabbit. They hate James Stewart. They're so sick of it because they're trying to get this daughter married. And anytime anyone comes around the house, Jimmy Stewart introduces them to his invisible rabbit, and they scarper because obviously in the 40s, everyone's afraid of people who are mentally ill. Anyway, the film goes on. Actually, a huge chunk of it is also set in at the time, an asylum for the insane, I guess it would have been called. Which is funny to me, because I suddenly realized that, hang on, both of my dad's favorite films are set in psychiatric hospitals. I don't know what that means. Maybe, who knows, if he'd lived longer, he would have gone mad. Or maybe he just loved psychiatric hospitals. Hard to know. But anyway, the film goes on, and you get to the end of it. What's very interesting about Harvey the Rabbit, I think if it had been made today, and that I'm going to spoil it a little bit now, if it had been made today, the director, the writer, definitely would have left it up to the audience's imagination as to whether the rabbit was real or not. In Harvey, they just tell you it's straight up real. Like, the therapist starts to see it as well. You see it open doors when nothing's there. There's no mystery. It is actually real. James Stewart is just, he's not mad. He sees it. It's a real thing. Anyway, it's a very bizarre film, and I completely forgot that it ever existed. So that was an interesting experience to watch it again. And the last one I'll tell you about is another golden oldie. It's called Summertime. It all one word. It came out in the 50s. It's a Katharine Hepburn film, quite a bit later in her career. It's achingly modern. Wow. It's incredible. And again, this came up as a recommendation when I was sort of deep in a vein of these incredibly famous and well-known old movies. I'd never seen Summertime. I'd never heard of Summertime before, but I thought it sounded nice. Katharine Hepburn going to Venice on holiday later in her life, and she's single, and you know, there's some romance afoot, whatever. I watched it. I was genuinely blown away by this film. I thought it was amazing. It completely swept me away. The character is kind of mad, but she's so modern that it's scary. It feels like it was written yesterday. It's probably the most relatable old film I think I've ever seen. Obviously, there are trappings of the time. There's lots of dynamics, social dynamics, relationship dynamics of the time that wouldn't fit now. But the sort of the internal monologue, the beginning of like individualism, the way in which the character thinks and expresses herself and her inner thoughts feel so modern. And it was directed by David Lean, who also made Lawrence of Arabia, Brief Encounter, which I watched the next day and quite enjoyed as well. Yeah, as I say, I can't believe I hadn't heard of it before. And the main thing I enjoyed about it is that, here we go, this is a great sentence. This film, from the 50s, this film respects loneliness. That's what it does. The character is lonely, and instead of trying to solve that for her, instead of trying to moralise or make a judgment about that, you simply see it. The film just allows you to observe it. It doesn't say anything about it. It just shows you it. And it's very rare in my experience, maybe not in real life, but in my experience, it's very rare to see a film from that far back, 50s, 40s, to just show you something without a moral judgment. Brief Encounter from the 40s, which is also David Lean, does exactly the same thing. That's an English film with a man and a woman who are both married but having an affair. And a lot of it's set at a train station. And again, for a film made in the 40s about an extramarital affair from the perspective of a woman, can you imagine what most people would have thought, what most films would have done? The film doesn't judge her at all. The film doesn't even frame the character as a mother or as a wife. She's just a woman. She's just a person in a train station. I mean, they are incredibly modern, these films. So again, if you haven't seen those early David Lean's, or indeed, if you haven't seen Lawrence of Arabia, ooh, crack it on. Come on. Turns out this guy's one of the greats. I didn't even know. So there you go. I hope you've enjoyed this rambling monologue. I think you'll be able to tell now that this podcast wouldn't work if it was just me. I miss Adam here interrupting me, actually. I thought at the beginning that, oh, I'm going to get an uninterrupted run. I'm just going to talk and talk and talk about the films I've seen, but kind of miss the back and forth. And I know that he'd seen some of these as well. And I even saw one on my list I wanted to talk about and thought, no, Adam watched that too. I want to talk about it with Adam. You know, I miss him. He's gone on holiday for a couple of weeks where he is going to do a bit of editing and we're going to do a bit of recording when he's there. But basically, real life has got in the way of our schedule, as it does sometimes. So we've slowed down. And that's why I've recorded this in place of what will be the first 100 episode going out tomorrow. So, as I say, please join the Discord. Adam and I are going to be in there regularly, just chatting and responding to messages and looking out for film recommendations. There's a communal list channel in there as well. It's completely free, obviously. It's not, there's no expectation that you pay for anything. We just wanted a way to communicate to you all more, slightly more directly than the emails, but please feel free to keep sending us emails as well. We're still going to be checking the inbox. Anyway, can't wait to hear from you. Can't wait to see what film you select for us to do on episode 101/2/3. And I really look forward to watching it and talking about it as ever. Hope you're having a terrific summer time. And we'll be back next week with a full episode where I'll be rejoined by Adam. God bless his cotton socks.